Can you just take another 30 seconds? Can you lift up your hands and just begin to praise the Lord right now? Come on, I think he deserves it. We just said, come on, my soul. I think right now, if your soul's not into it, tell your soul, get into alignment. Jesus, we praise you. Jesus, we worship you. Lord, we exalt your holy name. Lord, you are worthy of all our praise. Lord, we magnify you. Lord, we magnify you. We magnify you, King of kings, Lord of lords. You are worthy of all of our praise. No matter how we feel right now in our flesh, you still deserve the praise. No matter what's happening in Ukraine, throughout the world, you still deserve the praise. And so, Lord, right now we lift up and we tell our souls to get in alignment and praise you. Praise you. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we praise you. Jesus, we magnify your name. Jesus, you're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy. Jesus, you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy, oh God. You are worthy of all the praise. You are worthy of all the praise. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, we praise you. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Whew. How many would agree with me that God is good? I'm not sure you're convinced. How many would agree that God is good? Oh, praise Jesus. You can have a seat. Worship team, thank you guys so much. By the way, you know these guys, but this is my son over here on drums. It's my son, Dominic. And we have three other kids. We have James, who is 13, and then we have twin girls that are 10. I should have sent a picture for them to put up there, but I forgot. It is so good to be with you. Man, was that refreshing for you? I could barely sing because every time I sing that song, gratitude, Lord, I just lift up my hands, praise you again and again. I lose it every time, every time. Oh, there's a TV coming at me. Man, I will tell you what, though, God is faithful. We're grateful for the partnership of this church. As Pastor said, we're Awakened Ministries. We've been doing this for 4.5 years. We were senior pastoring a church in Arizona when God radically just picked us up and said, hey, I want to move you somewhere else. And we're like, but we like it here. And God said, but I want to move you somewhere else. And I want you to impact the music industry. And I want you to write songs for the kingdom of God. And I want you to travel and minister to churches. And so for the last 4.5 years, we've been traveling. Specifically for 3 years, the Lord told us we could not go overseas, which is really hard. So those people you just heard about, John and John Henry, the Nielsens from Norway, they are good friends of ours because my wife is Norwegian, for many who don't know that. And they actually took over the church that my wife's parents planted. And so there's lots of fun connections there. And so Europe and I used to travel to Japan and to Africa, and we did lots of ministry. But the Lord said, for 3 years, I want you to focus on the United States. And then COVID happened, and that 3 years extended. And so we've been ministering globally, but specifically in the United States for 4.5 years now, and just going from east to west coast. I mean, all the way from North Carolina to Hawaii. Somebody has to do Hawaii, so it might as well be us, right? Right? Pre-COVID, we were in Hawaii once a year, so we're a little irritated with COVID right now because we're like, come on, we need to get back there. Somebody's got to do it. But so we've been ministering and pouring into churches and just pouring life into churches. And over these last couple years, specifically since COVID hit, we have been focusing on church leadership and church wholeness and health and such, and helping a lot of pastors and churches navigate these times. You realize they're kind of weird, right? And so it's been strange times. And for pastors, you know, you are blessed to have godly pastors who listen to the Holy Spirit. I will tell you, there's a lot of craziness happening right now. And over these last few years, we have seen, I've seen churches be divided. I've seen churches fall apart. I'm sure you've seen it here. We've seen people where all of a sudden it's just like, well, where did they go? Like, they stopped coming when we went online and then just quit coming. And that's disorienting, by the way. That's a very strange thing because in church, you have to understand, you may feel like you're just filling a seat. We feel like you're our family. And so for those of you who feel like, well, nobody would know if I'm gone, we feel when you're gone. We feel when you're gone because we love you. Like, this isn't just a seat and we're hoping that somebody fills it. Like, we care about you. There's prayer that goes in. There's connection. And people start to connect. And then when people just don't show up and you're like, well, what happened? Like, is it me? Do I smell? Like, you know, it's disorienting. And so over these last couple of years, there's just been a lot of disorienting in the body of Christ. Here's what I've determined. So I'm going to give you a word today. And the Lord gave this word for me twice for this church. And so we were supposed to come here a few months ago, and through a strange series of events, we ended up not being able to come last minute. And I had written a sermon, and everywhere I go, I ask the Lord for a fresh rhema for this church. And so I had wrote a sermon, and then when it came time to come back here, I couldn't find that sermon, and I couldn't remember what I wrote. So by the way, if I prophesy over you, I don't remember what I said last time. So if you're like, well, he's already prophesied over me, I have no clue. I have no clue what I say sometimes. And so I couldn't remember. So I just went to the Lord, and the Lord gave me a word. And then a few days after I wrote this word, the Lord, I found the other sermon that I wrote, and it was almost identical. And so I'm just going to go on a hunch and say that somebody needs to hear this. Or maybe it's just me. I needed to hear it twice. I don't know. But I'm going to talk to you about kingdom thinking. See, the kingdom of God, there's something significant in the kingdom of God, and we need to understand. Oftentimes, we are focused on, hi, how are you? Hey, good to see you. So we're focused oftentimes on, let's just say, put it this way. We got to get rid of our stinking thinking and get kingdom thinking. And we don't realize often, I told you my wife is from Norway, and how many think that it's strange that she speaks Norwegian? Is that weird? You don't think it's strange because she's from Norway? How many think it's strange that she likes Norwegian chocolate? If you've had Norwegian chocolate, then you know. I think some of the things she likes are strange. I think, what's that gross stuff that I think is cat food? Liverwurst. I think that's gross. But she grew up on it. She grew up on this stuff. And so it's not strange because we have to understand we're from a different kingdom. And so when we've been grafted into the kingdom, oftentimes our flesh forgets. That's why I love that song today that says, come on my soul. What are we doing? We're telling our soul, don't forget that you're from somewhere else. Don't forget that even though I may not feel like it today, God deserves the praise. Did you know that it is not weird to come in and have no desire to worship, but still worship and get your soul in alignment to what God's worth is? Because worship is worship. We're putting worth upon God. Now, how many agree that whether your soul feels like it or not, he still deserves worth? And so when we come in, and this is one of the errors of kingdom of people who don't think kingdom wise, is we come into church and we think, well, I don't really know. That wasn't the song that I wanted today. Who cares? Who said it was about you? Or I don't know, it was a little loud today, or I don't know, you know, and we have all of our opinions about things. But I'm just telling you right now, is whether you like the song or not, whether everything was the way you wanted it or not, kingdom thinking says this: no matter what, my soul will praise the Lord because he is worthy of all praise. Now, this is important because this goes beyond Sunday mornings. This goes to Monday when you go to work and all of a sudden things just go haywire. This goes to when you're having issues with your children or your spouse or employees, whatever it is, that kingdom thinking says this. Kingdom thinking says, I know that no matter what, God deserves a praise and I'm not going to back down. So it's not strange that my wife is from a different place and she speaks a different language. Therefore, it's not strange that we're from a different kingdom and we speak differently. I sure hope we do. I've seen some of your Facebook posts. Come on. Just kidding. I haven't seen yours. But I've seen enough people to know that some of you probably talk like some of those people. Where we let all of our rants off on social media. Things that we would never say to somebody in person. We pick fights. Guys, that's not the kingdom of God. We have to learn this. We have to learn there's things that have been stirred up over these last few years. See, here's the irony. The irony is that while God doesn't need us, God still wants us. We desperately need God, but most of the time we don't want God. And so kingdom mindset says this. So we're from a different kingdom. And we in our Western culture miss this so much because we have done so much to get away from kingdom mindsets. I mean, come on, we drive on the opposite side of the road just to make it clear that we're not from them anymore. Isn't that true? We got rid of the metric system, which you understand counting in tens makes way more sense. But we're like, no, because you have to understand this. This is really important that you understand this. As a kingdom believer, we live in a culture that specifically is rebellious to a kingdom. Now, it's not the kingdom of God, but inherent in us as Americans is rebellion towards kingdom mindset. Because our country was rooted on rebellion against a kingdom. And so what happens is when we read a Bible that was written in an Eastern mindset that has a kingdom mindset, oftentimes it pushes up against our mindset because we're supposed to think as children of God from the kingdom of God. I should be careful there. And we need to focus in this place of the kingdom of God, but yet we live in a culture and a society that has done everything we can to make sure that they know we ain't part of you anymore. You're not my queen. So our assignment is to seek first the kingdom of God. You cannot hold God hostage to your questions. You have to let him go. Listen to me. This is so important that we understand this. God does not owe you an answer. I'm not saying God won't answer, but he doesn't owe you an answer. Many have heard this quote. I don't know who said it, but I like it. The gospel isn't God coming to bad people to make bad people good. It's Jesus coming to make dead people alive. When you're bad, you just need somebody to help you get better. When you're dead, you need somebody to bring you to life. And over the last few years, we have seen the church has showed when we should have been stronger. We saw a lot of division. And I'm not here to bash the church. You need to understand, I love the church. I'm a church lover. I've been a senior pastor. I love the local church. But boy, was I disappointed over these last few years. We had an opportunity to shine, and we fought. My point is, God may not have been the source of COVID or racial injustice or whatever things that have been going on over these last few years, political division. But I will say this, is we know that the God we serve uses scenarios for his glory. And I believe that he gave the church an opportunity to reset. He gave the church an opportunity to get into alignment. And by the way, that opportunity hasn't left us. But I do believe that instead of diving into that opportunity, I'm telling you this. You may not know some of these stories, but I can tell you of churches where pastoral staffs walked out on their pastors because of opinions over masks and no masks and vaccines and not vaccines and political differences and such. Guys, listen to me. We as believers should be able to have differences but still be united in the kingdom of God. And there's something wrong when we cannot talk about our issues without fighting. The church has to get, we got to learn some things. We got to learn to be able to deal with conflict. We got to be able to learn to deal with our stuff. The church needs to learn how to confront in love. We need to learn how to have healthy conflict resolution. We need to learn to not make differences division. We need to learn that, by the way, the scriptures tells us to hold each other accountable, but it doesn't tell us to hold the world accountable. And so oftentimes we're yelling at the world and the world's, but God's like, hey, why don't you deal with each other? As a matter of fact, scripture even says that if my people humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, he says, I'll hear from heaven. What does it say? It says, if my people will turn from their wicked ways. It does not say if our government will turn from their wicked ways. It does not say if the school system will turn from their wicked ways. It says, if my people will turn from their wicked ways. If my people will humble themselves and pray. Guys, come on. God is looking for the church to humble themselves and come before him and say, God, we need you. Everyone say, seek first. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, it says this. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor they reap, nor gather into barns, yet the heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value of they, of which of you by worrying can add a cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. I'm just going to ask you right now, how many of you are toiling? I mean, I'm telling you, it gets tiring, doesn't it? And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which you today is, and tomorrow is thrown into heaven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. I'm just going to tell you right now, God knows what you need, people. He loves you. He cares about you. But I love this. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for today, for the day is its own trouble. Seek first. What does it say? Seek first. Seek first what? One more time. Seek first the what? So don't you think if he told us to seek first the kingdom of God, we might need to understand what the kingdom of God is? It's really important to understand the kingdom of God. I have a feeling your pastor has a few things to say about the kingdom of God. I didn't know that, by the way, till this morning. Years ago, I took my son. We went to a Foursquare convention in Anaheim. And this is really mean story. This is like a total father fail. Anybody ever have those parent fails where you're like, I'm horrible. Like, why did God let me be a parent? Well, this is one of those moments. I took my son to Foursquare convention and I was so excited to have him with us. Well, you know, at these conventions, it's all of us older people, and we get together and we talk and we talk and we talk. Isn't that right? And we talk and we talk and we talk. So my son, he came. I wasn't even thinking about the fact that Disneyland was right there. I was just thinking about all these people I got to see and hang out. So we go to downtown Disney. And I don't remember how old he was. He was like 6 years old or so. And eight. Okay, he was 8 years old. And we're right at the entrance. He's like, I was 8 years old, 10 days. It was 3:55. And so we go, and we're at the entrance of Disneyland, and we're eating, hanging out with friends, and all I look over, and I see this 8-year-old looking at the entrance of Disneyland and thinking, like, am I going in? And I'm all of a sudden I hear, and you hear people on the roller coasters and the smells and everything, and I just see his face of, like, are you really going to take me to sit with a bunch of adults for 3 hours outside of the entrance of Disneyland and you're not taking me in? And by the way, I never took him in. He has been to Disneyland since, but that trip was not, that was not the intention. But I realized later, I'm like, I am an absolute horrible father. I took my son to the entrance of Disneyland and didn't take him in. But I realized this, could you imagine, there's so many people who come in and they enter in, and what's the first thing you do when you walk into Disneyland? If you don't know, you go to where the flowers are and you take a picture. Is that true? Or at least that's what every mom makes you do. You go into the entrance and you take a picture right at the flowers, right in front of the train station. That's your thing. You gotta get it. You gotta get it now, because at the end of the day, everyone hates one another. We're all tired. We're all hot, you know. So we gotta get it now while we're all happy. And so, could you imagine, though, if you went just into the entrance and you just stayed there? And you just hung out there? And then maybe you got really brave after a few hours and you walked maybe just into right past the train station and you went into one shop. And that's all you ever did. The kingdom of God is expansive. And you may be in the kingdom, but you may not be experiencing the fullness of the kingdom. You may be, you've gotten into Disneyland. You made it through the entrance. You paid the $900 for your family to be through those gates. You paid for the $50 churro. But yet, how many know that if you don't move past the entrance, you still may be in, but you may not be experiencing the fullness of the kingdom? And this is how so many believers are living. And yet we can look at you and say, well, I'm saved. Okay, that's great. I don't see him say, hey, I want you to seek first just being saved. I don't see him say, I want you to seek first just entering into the kingdom of God. He said, I want you to seek first the kingdom, and then all these things will be added to you. But guess what? You have to step into all these things. Now you have to go, and you have to go into all the different sections. You have to experience the fullness of it. A while back, my iPad was missing for a few weeks, and I assumed that it was stolen. Probably because I have a mindset, and most of us would have this mindset, that it had value. I searched high and low for it. I couldn't find it. And so I assumed because it had value that somebody took it. Finally, somebody told me that there's tracking devices on these things. Remember, I'm the same guy who took my son to the entrance of Disneyland, didn't take him in. And I found out, so then we looked and saw that there's tracking device on it and found out that it was at my house. Well, that was good, but how many know that just because you know that it's at your house, you still can't find it? And so I had the entire family start to search. And then I think one of my kids told me, like, hey, Dad, you know that you can actually have it beep. How many know instead of being grateful, I was irritated? It was probably Dominic. He usually helps me with all things tech. And so we began to have it beep, and I had everybody be silent. I'm like, everybody listen, you know, let your ears go to where, and I put the alarm on it, and I told the children to be quiet and begin to search. And we had this little beep going, beep, whatever it does, I don't know what it does, beep, 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 you know, and everyone's looking, trying to find it in the couch, finding wherever it is. And it may sound funny, but I immediately felt like the Lord said, this is how people respond to the kingdom. We have a built-in tracking device, if you will, that we were built for freedom. And because we don't have the right mindset, we begin to assume that things have been stolen in our life. We assume that God wasn't with us in that situation. We assume that God left us, that God wasn't, you know, God's not in our church anymore. God's doing this. God, and we have this built-in sense for freedom. But if you don't have the right mindset, you begin to blame God for things that God didn't do, or you blame people for things that people didn't do. And you begin to assume that things have been stolen from your life, that God wasn't with us, that his presence was for everybody but me, that his favor was for pastor, but it ain't for me. So we searched high and low for my iPad. And it wasn't until I connected to the source and began to listen to the still small voice that I was able to find it. And this is the kingdom of God. The kingdom is all around us. It is here, but you have to tap into the frequency. And people are wanting something to be different in their life. I love what my wife said about grief. As she said, oftentimes I was praying that God, would you just take the grief? And God was saying, hey, how about you recognize me in the grief? And this is our idea of freedom. Our idea of freedom is God, take it away from me. We want to focus on something different. Then I'm telling you, we have to get rid of our stinking thinking and get kingdom thinking. Because what you seek, and they could put this point up, what you seek first organizes every other aspect of your life. What you seek first, everyone say seek first. Seek first. What you seek first organizes every other aspect of your life. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Jesus said, seek first what? The kingdom of God. And all these things will be added to you. We have something we seek first. Seek first what we pay attention to, what we give our energy to, what we give our focus to, the thing we give our time to, our effort to, our money to. Whatever it is that you seek first orders your life. Some of you have seen this with money. Instead of seeking God, you're seeking financial freedom. Which, by the way, God wants you to have financial freedom. But first you seek God, and all these things will be added to you. Whatever it is orders every aspect of your life. People are struggling, and they often seek first relief from what they're struggling from. I mean, I know I do. If I have a backache, what do? I want relief. If I'm struggling financially, what do I want? I want relief. If I'm struggling with depression, and what do? Usually we seek first relief from depression. And oftentimes, seeking first the relief of depression can now become that which you're in bondage to. Seek first what? Everything else is organized around that. There are ways we can engage to take these things and tap into this power of God. It's as if somebody were trying to fix an electronic and seeking first to adjust it without plugging it in. Right now, throughout this room, did you know that in this room there are radio frequencies? Right now. I know that for a fact. If somebody were to grab a radio and you began to tune in, did you know that you could probably hear some country? You could probably hear some talk radio. You could probably hear somebody preaching right now. But oftentimes, with the kingdom mindset, is we're searching and we're trying to tap into these things, and we're like, God, how come I can't hear you? He's like, well, maybe you should plug it in. Reinhard Bunke said this. He said, anybody who thinks Christianity is boring, he said, so is a TV if you don't plug it in. Guys, there is a frequency that we were designed to tap into. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Our mind says what a man thinks in his heart. If we try to think differently, sometimes we substitute one thought for another thought. And oftentimes we do this in Christianity. We're like, all right, I'm just going to think differently. Whatever we do, listen, it's not just about just substituting thoughts for thoughts. It's about getting things in our heart and renewing our minds so that we think kingdom thinking. Seek first the kingdom of God. This is why it's so important what we put in our lives. It's like a sausage machine. If you put sausage in it, guess what? It's not going to come out chocolate. That sounds silly, but you know how many Christians sow not seeking first and then expect God to multiply things that weren't done with a place of seeking first the kingdom of God? I can tell you Christian after Christian who's like, man, come on. I sowed and I poured, I put seeds in. And I'm like, well, what are you looking for? They're like, I'm looking for this field to be ripe. And I'm like, well, how many seeds did you plant? One. Okay, and you want a field? Or God, I love apples. But you planted corn. I mean, this sounds, in the natural, this sounds really silly. But I'm telling you, I've been in ministry long enough to tell you time after time where somebody has come to me disgruntled at the church, disgruntled at the way their life has gone. And they're like, I don't understand why my finances are so messed up. And I'm like, well, do you tithe? Well, I don't have the money to tithe. Seek first the kingdom of God. The way we think shapes what happens inside of us. How you perceive and what you do with what you perceive. As a man is in his heart, so is he. So freedom is something that the Lord wants us to have. How many want freedom in your life? I mean, some of you have sickness. Some of you have financial things. Some of you have relational issues. But I want to give us a clear definition of freedom. Most kids' idea of freedom is I leave my mom and dad. Like, I'm going to get out of the house. Mom and dad don't tell me what to do. They don't tell me how late to stay up. I can stay up. I can do what I want. And how many know that most kids believe that's freedom until they have to pay their own gas bill? Right? They believe it's freedom until they have to pay their own electric, until they have to pay their own insurance, until they have to pay their own food. Now, all of a sudden, what they viewed as freedom is not very free anymore, is it? When you go to the movies and you have to pay your own ticket, and you realize that that extra side of popcorn is $19. When you come home at night and mom didn't stock the refrigerator for you. When you're sick and you don't have mom making you soup because you don't live with mom anymore. If you throw up, who's going to clean it up? You are. Right? All these things that we deem as freedom. As a young person, we think, I just can't wait to get out of the house. I remember thinking, I can't wait to not get out of the house. This is great. I remember being like 19 or 20, and I was still living with my parents, and some of my friends are like, why don't you move out? I'm like, have you seen how much it costs to live out there? So here's what I want us to have freedom over. I'm going to close up here in the next 5 minutes or so. We need to have freedom from bad definitions of freedom. If we have a bad definition of freedom, we will labor for it. We were made for freedom. We were made for freedom, so whatever we perceive as freedom is what we will lean towards or press in towards. So if you believe that being free financially is freedom, then you're going to press in towards that. Which, by the way, God wants you to be free in these things. But he says what? Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. If you think that the absence of pain is freedom, then you are going to seek the absence of pain instead of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then the absence of pain may come to you. Did you know that you could be in prison and still be free? But did you know you could be outside of prison and not be free? How many would agree that Paul and Silas were free while they were in prison? While they were in chains, they were free. They were singing to the Lord. They were saying, come on my soul, don't you get shy on me. They were exalting the Lord. They were praising him while they were stuck in chains, because freedom is not the absence of pain or the absence of trials. Freedom is not the absence of all the difficult things that we believe will bring freedom. I have seen Christian after Christian who just was like, once I get debt free, then we're going to be free. And yet they're still in bondage, because once they're debt free, now they want this. Now they want that. I've seen people who say, if I just was healed from cancer, then I would be free. Then they got healed from cancer, but they didn't seek first the kingdom of God. And now they're healed from cancer, but they don't have any peace in their life because they didn't seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. One of the enemy's strategies is to give us an inaccurate definition of freedom. Most people think that freedom is the absence of bondage. If a prisoner thinks that the freedom is the absence of bars, then he's mistaken. If we think that freedom is the absence of something, we're already stuck. We think that freedom is the absence of bad habits, of addictions, of bad thoughts, of financial issues, which I want to make it clear, I do believe God wants us free of those things. But if we only get those things out of our life, we're still not free. How many would agree with me that somebody could not have found Jesus and have financial freedom, not be sick, and they're still not free? Therefore, I think it's clear to us as believers that having financial freedom, having no sickness, having no relational issues is not the definition of freedom. The Bible defines freedom as not the absence of something, but the filling of something. You could put it this way. Jesus is the definition of freedom. 2 Corinthians 3:17 proves this. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Does it say that if you're not sick, there's liberty? Does it say if you don't have trials and tribulations, there's liberty? No, it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So if we are seeking the absence of something, we've been focusing on the wrong thing. Years ago, I was at a group. It was like six churches. It was a Good Friday service. And a bunch of churches got together. We did this church in the park type atmosphere. And at the end, the guy who was leading it invited the pastors to come up and pray for people. Worship team, you guys can come on up. And as pastors came up, and I wasn't one putting on this event, and so I didn't know really what my authority was, but what happened is I began to see this lady was demonized. And she was literally throwing up at the altar. She was manifesting like mad. And I look over at this pastor, and he's a spirit-filled pastor, and he's standing next to her, and he has no clue what to do. And so I went over to him after she's literally just taking over the altar, manifesting and such. And I said, hey, do you need some help? And he goes, please, I don't know what to do. And so I said, okay. And so I silenced the demon. We cast the demon out. And immediately she stopped. She got free. And so then I said, okay, now just begin to minister over her. And I look, and he's still standing next to her. And I went back to him, and I said, hey, let's just walk through. Now what does the Bible say needs to happen? What do you think needs to happen after a demon goes out of somebody? We got to get filled. Why do we believe that somebody who just is free from demons would be free? So why do we believe that if I'm just free from financial issues or I'm just free from relational issues that I'm free? That is not the definition of freedom. The definition of freedom is being filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the definition of freedom. What does the Bible say? Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation. All these things are going to dissipate. They're going to fall. It's the counterfeit stuff. But he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. By the way, the language there, that's a command. Paul's not suggesting it. And the language there, it's a passive imperative tense, and it's saying, but you continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. How far we let him get is the definition of freedom. John 8:32 says this, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. This is really important, and I'm going to end with this. The kind of truth that sets people free isn't when we have all of our facts right. It's when we understand the facts and the perspectives from the kingdom of God mindset. And we have to understand this. This is critical right now because everybody thinks that they know the truth and everybody thinks they're right. That's most of the time how people are defining. If you follow social media at all, sometimes, I'm just gonna be honest, sometimes I get on social media just to watch somebody. Like I'll see somebody post something and I'm like, ooh, I'm gonna follow that one and see how this goes. Yeah, you too. It's kind of like going to a hockey game and hoping they fight. You know, it's like that thing. I'm kind of watching it, and it's horrible. It's really bad. I'm just confessing to you right now. It's not good. Like, I'll watch, and I'm like, ooh, this one. Ooh, Republicans are going to go crazy on that one. Democrats are going to go. And I'm watching this, and I'm watching the whole thing, and it's horrible. It's horrible. But what I'm watching is that everybody thinks that truth is defined by what they believe. Therefore, we have no tolerance for anybody else. I mean, how many have we seen? Everybody's an expert right now. We're political experts. We're racial experts. We're health experts. I'm not saying you shouldn't research these things and have an opinion for your life and know what you want to do, whether it's vaccines or no vaccines, masks. That's not my point. This is not a political message. My point is that if you define the definition of truth based off of your opinion, then you're no better than a Pharisee. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says this, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." So you can leave here today and be like, "Eh, that's all right." Or you could leave here today with a radical change and make a decision that I want freedom. One of my favorite movies is Braveheart. And I love when Mel Gibson, and I'm not telling you all to go watch it, it's, you know, has some other things that may not be appropriate for everybody and such. But I love when he's about to die and he's yelling, "Freedom!" The guy's dying. He's being tortured. And he's yelling, "Freedom!" And if there's anything I could do for the body of Christ right now, if I could just come and just yell and get you to break out, if I could just say, "Freedom! Freedom!" And you could understand that God has something so good for you. We're not just singing these songs just because we're bored and we got nothing better to do. We're singing because God's worthy. We're singing because he deserves our praise. We're singing because he said that the Holy Spirit would be with us. He said that it is better that I go and that you have the helper, that you have the comforter. And I want to sit here and have division with my brothers and sisters. I want to love you. And I want you to walk in freedom. And so I just declare over you, we're going to sing this chorus, "Come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me." And I want you, this is our response to this message right now, is that we would declare that right now, soul, you are not going to reign in this relationship. You will submit. And I'm going to tell you right now, soul, we're going to praise the Lord. So we're going to praise the Lord. So we're going to praise the Lord. And so I would just declare over you, new song, freedom. Yeah. I would just declare over you, freedom. Yeah. I so desire to see the body of Christ free. And freedom does not mean that we don't have differences. Freedom does not mean that we all have to agree on everything. Freedom means that we are filled with the Holy Ghost and we are seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So stand up with me right now. Lord, I just declare over each and every loved one right now, freedom. 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 And I just declare that they will be filled with the Holy Spirit right now. Lord, whatever they need, we know that your word says that if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added. And so I believe that freedom will happen, that healing will happen, breakthroughs in relationships will happen, breakthroughs in finances will happen. But right now we come before you and we say, God, we seek first your kingdom right now. God, we seek first your kingdom right now. God, we seek first your kingdom and your righteousness right now. So right now, just out loud, and come on, I understand I'm Italian, I'm a little crazy, I get that. But right now, just begin to say, God, I seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. God, I seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. God, I want to get these things in alignment. I don't want to seek first all these other things. I seek first your kingdom. And right now, you may need healing. You may need deliverance. You may need breakthroughs. But I'm just telling you right now, submit all of those things to him and say, God, I seek first you and your kingdom. And so as we sing this, I'm going to encourage you. I don't know why, but biblically, oftentimes, we will see that there are physical responses that are needed for spiritual manifestations. We see that what happens with Aaron and Moses, his hands are up, they're winning. His hands are down, they're losing. There's oftentimes, and so I'm going to encourage you as we sing this, and we're just going to, I'm so sorry, I went a little long. Please forgive me. I'm going to encourage us. Some of you need to step out. Maybe it's just step to the right, and you did something, you moved. Some of you don't normally lift up your hands, lift them all the way up. Maybe you need to dance for a minute before the Lord, and we're going to continue this on tonight. We're going to do a little pause and continue tonight. But just right now, just let's respond. Maybe you need to get on your face for a moment and just say, God, I'm going to lay all these other things and I'm going to seek first your kingdom.